the description, she fits on the main page. When you look at it, it says that role is facility owner. That's not an accurate description.
I also want to point out, if we're going to start looking at words, right?
Yes.
It says representing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it doesn't mean you are that person. It means you're representing that group of people.
Okay.
So, for example, if I'm a facility owner, and I'm like, how can I get somebody to, there's an animal control advisory board, and you are representing facilities. So if I'm a facility owner, I can come to you, and I can give you my concerns that you can bring back to this board. You can look at it in that way.
I think I phoned you originally, we sent your name on and said, when you had that concern, I said you were the most qualified related to that category we've ever had. But since I've been involved, and you would be representing them. So she's actually reiterating what we've talked about.
Because it also says livestock owner, and I'm under the representing. I don't own my livestock. I belong to an organization,
right,
and that's my history.
Right. But I
currently today, I do not own any livestock.
And like I said, I don't care. I have just never, ever been involved in any type of facility. No brick and mortar type of facility. So I know nothing about.
So to meet your needs, an easy way to address this is to say, the intent of the county is to provide a variety of different opinions for different segments of society. If we add to that description, or someone with professional experience, a wording we can come up with, would that meet your need?
I don't really care. I just want to make sure that I am not a facility owner. Okay, that's it. I don't take responsibility on that.
Do something even simpler, which is another suggestion. We can say representing.
Yeah, well, it says that at the top,
right,
of the column.
Or we can re-emphasize it more clearly to make you feel comfortable.
I just don't want anyone coming back to me saying, hey, you represented yourself as this, and you're not.
It's a bylaw. So it's words in the bylaw,
yes,
which this body has the ability to change.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also, consider that as well.
So it's in just the bylaws, it's not in code?
In the code.
It's cut and pasted in the code because it's in the bylaw. You have to change the bylaws.
And then the new options, okay.
But I'm not going to change the code without a bylaw.
Yes, right.
Okay, so we need to look at bylaws if there needs to be anything addressed at this.
So,
I would just do it without your permission.
Sure.
And I'm not going to.
So the issue comes down to one point. You want to emphasize that you don't want to make people feel like you're not a representative of that category. And so to make you comfortable, I'd like to make a proposal that we just add to the description, so it meets the county idea in code and includes somebody with professional experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm second, Mr. Presbyterian.
Okay. I might even go so far as to say, because it says shall attempt to include the following, but these are, and they're not limited to,
mm-hmm,
right? So I think that gives you the ability. I would also, it would be great if we found somebody who owned or ran a facility, like a kennel or an equine equestrian facility or whatever it may be. And I would still I would recommend that that still be an option for somebody to
I don't think, and I agree with you, I don't think we want to eliminate the diverse approach the county trying to do in code. So,
I'm comfortable with my proposal?
What do we add to the definition?
Add in the bylaws?
In our bylaws. Or on the publication.
It's on the public page.
On the public page.
Where it says what role.
On the public page,
right,
representing facility or professional. You can help me with the words, but yes.
So they're not. So So just so I understand, you're not suggesting that we necessarily modify the bylaws right now.
Or the code.
That we just submit some language to Donna to change on the website.
Right.
Yeah. She doesn't feel comfortable.
That's the code. The bylaws.
Right, yeah. Right.
Right.
It just.
Outward thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'll say
okay. So can, if there's any more discussion, I have another proposal, an amendment that I propose is that we make the change only if we don't find another way to review while we do the interview process.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that there's a lot of candidates, as we usually have been doing interviews, we kind of shuffle people because they might apply for something, but we find another spot that makes sense. So then at that point, there might be a way to switch you.
The problem is she wouldn't have applied for a new position.
Yeah.
Or put a application in.
Yeah.
We can't do that. Okay.
Well, you can't just move people around.
You can try if you're a livestock owner and a dog owner.
Yeah.
We could say, would you feel more comfortable doing this or that? That's sure. That's a possibility. If they're the owner, for example, if you apply for a specific position, then whether you're a livestock owner or a dog owner, if you want to be a livestock owner, you should be able to apply for that. Okay, but. That's why having Donna's suggestion of specific on the application is important. People who apply for specific things.
Right.
I guess we can change it anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. To your, yeah.
Yeah. And then one of the vacant positions is in animal welfare.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's very broad.
Right. Okay.
So, and, you know, we could do animal welfare, and we could, if there isn't a facility person in the group, we can have re-advertise for that position and see if we get.
And then you apply for that. How to make you happy?
Unhappy.
Okay, so.
Okay, would you mind just reiterating the
proposal, made the motion.
Do it, or Carol, do you have it?
I can do it. He has moved to change the web page description to facility or professional. I don't know.
Or animal welfare.
Animal professional.
Animal professional.
That would work. But you did different types of animals when you did project these, right?
I did.
Okay, so that would fit. That doesn't change the
but bylaw. That's the same bylaw role.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's just changing
better description.
The description of it on website. So it's been moved and seconded.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Any abstention? The motion passed.
So is someone going to generate that language to then forward over to Donna? Do we need to?
Sounds like the language was or animal professional.
Okay,
good. And do we need to coordinate with Jackson then, since it's on the website? Or are you all?
I wrote it down.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. The next agenda item is the board vacancy update, which we talked a little bit already about.
There are 5 applicants. We have not had an opportunity to set up interviews or anything, but I will be doing that next week, that we start the interview process. And thank you to both of you that are attended, that are interested in submitting your application.
Your sense of email, I saw.
Yeah.
When would you like us to reply, Bonnie? Because I know some of these days are very soon.
I'm just trying to wing it at this moment and get it done. Mm-hmm. So,
excuse me, when did you send that out? Because I haven't seen anything.
Oh, no, it's only to the board.
Oh,
they're available for us.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
That is confusing. I just need to check with Rebecca, Lori, and Rhett.
I'll reply by tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, tomorrow. Perfect.
On the
okay, perfect. Thank you.
The next discussion item is the quarterly committee updates.
would the outreach committee like to start?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Would the outreach committee like to start?
Yes, for outreach. So one of the things that if you have reviewed the 2025 strategy, we have come up with a collection of actions that we felt would really be beneficial for the county in relation to outreach. A number of those things we started looking at, like, okay, you know, we could do that, you know, it's going to land on the county to be able to do this, this, and this. And a lot of those things sort of intersected in the need for a nonprofit that supports animal control. So that's where we kind of like, okay, we're going to like stop for just a moment, you know, and see what lands under this nonprofit umbrella that can be just solid outreach for the county, because that's essentially what we want to do, is increase revenue, outreach, education, make sure people know what resources are available through spay and neuter, and you guys have your clinic that's going to be, when's that looking like?
September,
okay. We're looking at information to, you know, educating the community. One of the best ways to do that, obviously, is online, you know, social media, that kind of thing. That creates a huge problem when we start looking at, like, the advisory board can't have an Instagram page. Animal control can't have an Instagram page. But a nonprofit could have an Instagram page that could then promote all of the positive things that are happening in the community. Social media. See, that was one of those things where we're like, okay, that's not going to happen, so we have to find another way. We're looking to attend kind of tabling at minimum 4 events this year. We're going to kind of look at the groups that are here that are, you know, I would say Southwest is probably the biggest group that does kind of the biggest events, like your walk run, your, you know, the marathon stuff, that kind of thing, and seeing if we can participate by having just an informational table. We're also looking at things that are not animal related. You know, are there other events that are happening in the community where we could just literally show up, hand out some fun things, hand out information about licensing, and then also rabies licensing clinics where, you know, come get a rabies shot and the license, actually the rabies shot's free, the licenses, that kind of thing. We're lining up support from veterinarians that are willing to actually conduct those for us. And a lot of that will land under that nonprofit umbrella because it's just, it's, we can move faster. Right, there's not so many people like, well, how do you? You talk to Donna, and then Donna talks to April, and then April talks, you know, and it just, and then the next thing you know, like 6 months has passed. So we're looking at ways that we can move a little bit faster.
Question. Just for my clarification, what you said, that relates to when you and I were meeting with the members, and we were trying to see if we could find a nonprofit to do those type of things, and then instead we're having an opportunity to create.
Basically,
that's similar, right? Basically,
yeah.
Because that was exactly what you and I were shooting for, and I think
we talked about
you,
like.
And you reported for us back in July. That's what we. There was a need to do something. So I just was.
Yeah, sort of like that Friends of Clark County Animal Control.
Well, can I add too that then it's not just board members having to be doing all the work. You get more people involved.
Yeah. That's a good point, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah. So again, you know, we're looking at the events that we can do in this coming year. One thing that outreach would be, it would be really helpful is if we could have a broader understanding of the software and the and access to data, so we know where to like point efforts. But we say like, okay, like, you know, there's a spike at this time. Like you said, you know, the everything calls are up 54%. That's a really important bit of information that could be amplified, right, and share so people understand what's going on. I mean, on one hand, you go, it's great that the calls are up because that means the community is recognizing that the service is there, and, you know, and we can call them, we can count on them. But at the same time, like, are your pets not sent because they need that? So it's just, it's finding that that point. So there, I know that Lori had brought up some, she felt that there was a really, it was important to understand the software and how, what information is actually available to the advisory board. And also, I mean, there's obviously information's available to the public, but information that's available that we could utilize in pushing out messages and education and all of that stuff. Then let's see. Lori, would you mind talking a little bit about tracking the stray holds that's under the outreach and how, like, just, yeah, just talk a little bit about that because that was kind of your piece.
Yeah, I remember at the public meeting with the Humane Society, they were talking about, well, you know, we're not always on the same page. Like animal control says one thing and we say another. You know, that they brought in these animals and either we don't show them or we show more or whatever. So if we had, and I don't know how the software works. Does the software communicate with the Humane Society? No. Okay. So if we got that, let's say monthly and did an audit monthly, just so we know what's happening, right? Are we on the same page? Do you have a number of strays that we said we audit? Are you showing more than what we said, right? Are they going from the right county? You know, everyone makes mistakes, clerical errors, right? So I just think it's important so we know, you know, how many strays.
So we get a bill every month,
right,
from the Humane Society,
right,
that says what strays were brought in,
right,
and we audit that to make sure that those strays are in the jurisdiction.
Okay.
And is that the information that then ends up in the reports that you give us? Like, is it just broken down into numbers? Like, you know, how you give us a report.
Jackie prepared.
It's the very last column where it says animal intake. Yeah. That's the numbers from the Humane Society.
Okay.
That
I thought would be important information is what happens to strays. Did they go into adoptions? Well, that's what I'm saying.
Did we get that?
It's okay.
On the billing statement that we did, it does show how much time it is with the bill. Yeah.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yes.
Now, is that information that we could get as a board?
It's public record.
Okay.
So do we need to put in a request or can we just like call bills?
Well, you can put on the record that you would like those records and we would provide them to you as part of that data. Because if you ask for information that we have access to, then public entity, we are obligated to provide.
Okay.
Yeah, again, if there are questions, we might. I have access to the system. I don't look up any moment. And if I don't know the answer to that,
or any animal that's going to show up. They get transferred, everything is
right.
The other thing that I think might be important is how many times is an animal found as a stray? Like, does someone adopt it and then 6 months later, it comes back in.
We also see that.
And we track that as well, and we help work in conjunction with animal control with frequent flyers. Like, hey guys, the animal's come in 3 times now. Yeah. Hey, this animal's come in 4 times now. There's an issue.
Yeah.
That's really good to know then, because we weren't clear that it was being
caught. Yeah, it's important to know.
Like that. Yeah. We do see that with the.
Okay.
Same question related to that.
And the fee you get more every time they come in, because we're also tracking that. So every time, first time the fees are. You know, here, second offense, the fees go up, third offense, the fees go up more.
And is animal control billed each time?
No,
it's for the people,
right?
But also, if an animal comes in as a stray, multiple
times. But then those fees go back to animal control. So we're just collecting those fees for partners.
Oh, okay.
We're receiving them.
But then you also bill them for the animal coming as a stray. Okay.
So I have a related question. It's kind of sideline, but because my committee sat up and I have a meeting with the other two members as well. you were looking at Chibi. So I was wondering, Chibi the Manimals, I was wondering if there's any data that you have kept or we have available shows what percentage of those repeat animals were chipped or not chipped. Because that would be something I would want to know based on what I was looking through my paper to make sure I didn't forget it. But I was curious to ask that question anyway. So do you have that information?
We don't track that information because we aren't providing the chipping process. You guys might have that.
And yeah.
You guys chip every animal when there's a doctor.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So if an X-ray without a chip, it leaves with a chip.
Right.
But it
is a toxin. So if it's being reclaimed, it is not our animal and it's a medical procedure. So we cannot microchip animals upon recognition.
Can I ask you a question? When I was looking at the lost and found, like some animals come in and you see their name. So is that pretty much the representation of this animal's chip?
It's not any trace.
Okay.
Either it's got a microchip, it had a tag with a phone number, it's got a rabies tag, it's got a license, so we're able to connect with the person.
And the numbers that are on each animal stay with them for their life, right? Like when you come in and you say, okay, this animal's number 1,650.
And long is on when they come back and we're able to re-identify it, right? Like maybe do our best. And our staff is tries to be pretty good about recognizing animals. Like, oh gosh, I caught this dog last week.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the first time it came in, it had its tag on.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time it came in, it doesn't have its tolerance tag. Okay. It's not microchipped. Like, we do our best, but there are places where they fall through the cracks. And
right.
It's not microchipped.
Okay.
And it's not where it's planted.
And what type of, so let's say that, okay, stray comes in, it, gets over into adoptions, gets adopted out, comes back as a stray. Do you then give it, okay, so then you contact the people that you adopted it to, get that back. What is it that you guys do to like, because you adopted an animal to someone who lost it,
mm-hmm.
and how do you help remedy that?
I mean, it depends on the situation, right? Like what happens?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so is there like a certain point where you say like, oh, if this animal comes in twice, then we engage a trainer or we find out like, is there any type of protocol for that?
I mean, I guess it depends on the situation, right? Like we can't force them in order to do anything. We can offer resources, but we can't make them see a trainer. We can't make them do anything. We can make suggestions. We can say, hey, the fencing issue, we know a wonderful organization called Fences for Vitals. Maybe we can connect you with them. They can come out and look at your fence. You know, maybe if it is a training issue, hey, here's some great low-cost training options for you. We can't keep the animal from you, right, if they don't do these things. Like, that's not on us.
But if you put the animal there in the first place, that's what I'm saying, is that like, okay, if you
their property, that is that person's animal. So we will do what we can to support.
Right, okay, so then I guess maybe the question and the information I'm looking for is like, how do you decide, what is your process for selecting an adopter? Because obviously, like, you wouldn't knowingly give, you know, an animal to a person who doesn't have the environment or the skills to care for it, right? So there's a criteria,
yeah,
right? So if that criteria begins to prove inaccurate,
yeah,
like what kind of support is then offered for the animal is what I'm trying to understand.
I mean, we counsel them.
Like, okay.
Is this the right fit for you still? Because we can't keep an animal or something. And that's my problem.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's not what we do. I mean, if it's a frequent flyer and it's an issue on this animal,
you say frequent flyer, is that your the term for like a dog, an animal that's like
repeated?
Okay.
You know, maybe it's the third or fourth time this animal has come in, and then we're calling the animal.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Maybe people do need a citation. Maybe it's somebody that you guys can keep an eye out, you know, while you're out in that area.
Okay.
Clearly something's not working. But if they're coming in and have the money to reclaim the animal, we can give them resources, we can make suggestions, we can't keep it in.
Okay.
And can I ask you, when you're doing the adoption, do you have like a questionnaire that people fill out?
No, it's more of kind of a counseling. It's kind of, what are you looking for? What's your lifestyle? and trying to just do that matchmaking and that best fit. And then we are an open book. There is no information that we do not share with the doctors, medical or behavioral. We read through it all, so they're very aware of the animal they're meeting and what we know about that animal, obviously. There, we will never see all of the behavior or medical of an animal in its time with us, right?
Right, of course not. They're not.
And so, yes, you know that. Like, you know, behavior in a shelter is not indicative of the behavior in a home. So we do the best we can to share all we know about that animal that stay with us and try to make that best match and say, we're going to make you aware of all this information. Is this an animal that you can manage? Is this an animal that's going to make your life better? And if so, then great. That's to be managed.
The only thing that I get concerned about is a lot of dogs are predators. You know, just natural. And some people will just say, oh, they'll get along with my cat. And they don't even say anything.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you could really do about that.
Yeah.
But that, what happens when that person goes, you know, I had a rehome him, or, you know, or he's a stray again because I let him go.
Yeah.
Because he isn't getting along with a cat, or he tried to kill a cat.
So I mean, do counsel, and there are adoption packet. Every adopter gets these scenarios, how to introduce your dog to your current dog, how to introduce your new dog to your cat at home.
Right.
So we give them a lot of information to set them up for success.
Mm-hmm.
There are many times that we don't know how a dog's going to do with the cat, and we don't have cat testing. It's not humane to cat test dogs. And it's not true, right? It won't be a true indication.
So if there was a problem, then you refer to
animal.
You do refer to animal control if it's a problem.
I mean, it depends on the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, if somebody calls and says, hey, I'm really struggling, I want to keep this dog, we do have training opportunities post-adoption. If an animal is coming in as a stray, we can counsel, we can get resources.
Are those free? Is it like free training? Or
free training post-adoption. Yeah, for dogs. People are very good. But yes, so there are opportunities to help support an animal and keep it in.
Do you have any estimate what the total amount of money would be to provide free chipping for people who don't have their animal chipped? You have to surrender them and they don't want to pay for that? Is there any amount of money that would cover that?
I mean, we offer through our Spay and Save program, which is our low-cost program for cats. It chips $20.
Okay, so it's $20, and in the course
of... Does that include registration, or just it doesn't include you?
So in the course of a quarter, you can guess. I don't care. Or is there a way you can find out the information for us?
Yeah, you get an estimate.
Find out how many people don't choose to get it, but you do offer it.
We offer it during first spay neuter services. We cannot offer it when someone's reclaiming their animal because it's not our animal and it's a medical procedure. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Every animal gets adopted.
You can't do it without your permission. You could offer it, right?
And which is not.
It is not fun. It's not
up. Watch our animal shelters. It's not a feasible operation. We've tried to figure out how to do it and get around it. Our veterinarians are a little uncomfortable, and so ultimately,
so the vets don't want to.
It's managing the ability to take a veterinarian out from the middle of their surgery, right?
Oh,
the surgery is to come over and microchip or be present when this microchip is. There's a lot of restraints around animal shelters.
What are those risks? Is that from the vet community? That's from the vet state.
There's been some issues between private clinics and animal shelters on care for animals and the impact that may have.
For the sake of time, I wonder, I know you offered to meet with us. But would you be interested for the outreach also maybe to collaborate so that you guys can ask us more questions? That would be maybe a way to... continue the conversation.
I mean, there's gonna come a natural point where that's gonna happen. So if you're available, that's awesome. And then I just have one more thing in relation to outreach, and we're going to, I'm pretty sure it's under outreach, but we're going to initiate a landscape analysis. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get on pretty quickly to just have a full understanding of the county to identify areas that. Where there's untapped revenue, right? Whether it's facilities licensing or you know, anything along those lines. And we figured starting with kind of a landscape analysis where we have a good handle on what's happening in the county. And so yeah, that's it.
Is there anything that you want help with? I'm not sure.
Well,
specific things you're looking for, because I remember Donna was telling me they're working on a list of the shelters, or the veterinary.
No. So just it's an update for facilities. So we this was a while ago. I made a proposal to council to get a project position, which is 18 months to 2 years. Originally, it was a 2 year position to come in and do facility inspections, because it's an area it's required in code that we go out and we do inspect facilities. We hit some of them. There are a lot of facilities out there that are not getting inspected that should be. We pitched it. Project position means it's temporary, and then it's evaluated as to whether or not it is a sustainable position. And so we have that. We're moving forward with that. We actually hired somebody this week. They're going to start here in a couple weeks. And their primary objective is to do facility inspections, collect the revenue from facility inspections, and get out there and do the inspections of these facilities to make sure that they're clean and safe and meeting the standards. And in order for that position to be maintained, we have to show that it's budget neutral. So it can't cost the general fund any more money than what I'm currently spending. So it has to generate enough revenue in those inspection fees to kind of cover the expense for that program. So we're trying it out. We're going to see how it goes. There are hundreds of facilities in the county, and we'll be trying to hit as many as we can.
What would you say percentage-wise? Are there facilities that are completely unlicensed?
Oh, yeah. 100%. I would say we're probably only tapping into less than 5% of inspecting facilities in other houses.
Okay.
Right? It has not been a priority, because when you have 54% increase in cruelty neglect cases and bite cases and running large cases, the facilities fall by the wayside. So the long-term goal is to make it a permanent position. It will become another animal control position. And then it'll actually, the philosophy here is to give the officers a respite and be able to do facility inspections for like 3 months.
Oh, no. Nice.
And then they can come out of the rotation of all the ugly stuff, all the hard stuff, all the stuff that takes a lot of time, and just focus on doing facility inspections. It's a little bit, gives them a little bit of a break. Yeah. Plus it exposes everybody to everything. So that's the goal. But we'll see if we get there. So we have to be successful in trying to support that position. And really, that's going to depend on, you know, people being cooperative and letting us in and paying their fee. Mm-hmm. So, much like licensing.
Yeah. So we'll be looking at everything to see if there's any creative way to increase revenue.
We have a list from the Department of Revenue of all those. Department of Revenue codes they use for veterinary care, well, animal welfare codes. So we have a decent list of businesses and facilities in the county to start. And, you know, we'll drive down the road. I see Donna's groomer over there. Stop on it. So, that's the goal. So we're happy to have had that approval, right, that we can keep the position.
Just to clarify, would that person in that position have the ability to collect revenue by giving fines to facilities and harm to fine, or would they have to report on this?
That's a good question, because I tend to come from a place of education and compliance versus enforcement and penalty. I'm code enforcement manager. We get there when we need to, but I do believe there are some provisions in the code for not having a license, not following through,
you're going to have conditions that are associated with that license, and you need to meet those conditions, and I'm sure there's some implementation we're not meeting those conditions. So possibly, although that's not where I would like to collect the law. Just get people on the line to realize the importance of just being safe and clean the place for the public and animals.
Mm-hmm. So much for the over going to work the outreach committee. The next committee is the code review committee. I can start with some of the updates on HR.
Sure.
So our code change propositions that were presented last summer that you might remember in the board meeting have not unfortunately yet been seen by the county council due to scheduling. But that meant that our committee had more time to add additional information to make the cases stronger, specifically this day and New Year. So we sent some information a few weeks ago to Donna and William for their presentation, but we were not able to submit new topics. But we have new topics that we're working on. So we're working on getting the horse input. So you might remember there was that paperwork that you gave us, Rebecca, from the other room. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we didn't get to present that yet, but that one is in the works for the next timeline. And then we're looking into breeders, because if we do want to enforce more spay and neuter, how do we also handle people who want to be breeding? So that's one of the topics we're researching. And then also the chip topic, like how can we also get more of the cats or dogs or animals, I guess, to be chipped potentially with the spay and neuter together. So yeah. We're kind of splitting all the three topics in the team here. And then, because obviously we talk about animals a lot more in the community than we might do here, I just wanted to share a few data points, because this is also where the passion comes from with the spay and neuter. And I'm sure Jen, you would have way more statistics than I have, but here's some data from the National Feline Research Council. There's so many outdoor cats, and the outdoor cat life expectancy is just a couple of years. It can be up to 5. I'm not sure that I've even seen that, but compared to 12 to 15 for indoor cats. And this is due because they get hit by cars, they get poisoned by antifreeze and herbicides, they have the predators. And 5.4 million cats are hit by cars every year in the US. 97% of those, so the majority, die from their injuries. Babies often don't make it the first year. And a lot of them also suffer simply from the fleas and the worms and all those things that they catch outside. There's also nowadays the bird flu risks. And just to give an idea of numbers, I mean, there's so many numbers out there, but the one on this council was that two unsterilized cats and their offspring can produce 420,000 cats in just 7 years.
What?
Cats can begin breeding at age of 6 months. I actually heard even earlier, 4.
Right?
Yeah, 4 months. So they're still babies and they can already be pregnant. They can reproduce several times a year. The average is 1.5 liters per year. And on average, they get 4 kittens each. And my little story was the cat that I found last summer, and I'm so glad she's now inside and not in this crazy cold, but she was barely 1 year old. She had 3 kittens that were about 4 months. She was herself pregnant again. And so that's why, like, there's that passion. There's suffering outside. And so that's why we really wanted to look into how can we just increase the spay and neuter, especially with cats, because that's one of the main problems in numbers. There's obviously also other animals we're looking into. Now going back to the work, so the next change recommendation timeline, according to Donna, is maybe at the end of this year or maybe even early 2026. So we don't have that many opportunities to propose code changes this year. So I'm hoping that it's going to still be one more this year, and we're looking forward to hearing the results once you have the meeting with the county. And then we also discussed how can we get more input from other residents, and we wanted to see if we can maybe change some things on the website, add a form so people can submit ideas, not even just to the code committee, but also maybe to all of us. And additionally, because my winters are always super busy with work, I've been trying to find a co-chair who can take the lead in the winter time, so I can focus on the spring and summer time. So I'm hoping, since we didn't find any interest in the committee right now, that some of the new board members might be interested in helping with that. And my face, does anybody have anything I missed?
When will you be having another code meeting? Is that been scheduled yet?
Not yet. Okay. But probably in February.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I guess I just wanted to share that we've done a lot of research around, and my part of it was looking into chipping and what people do for chipping. I found that many countries already require chipping of cats and dogs. The United States now requires, since August 1st, chipping of animals for travel. So if it can be done at the federal level, maybe even our state doesn't approve of it, maybe it can be, I've already been in contact with people in the federal government, see if we can make that more of a national thing. I got a couple of responses already, so we'll see how that goes. I also found that Las Vegas required cats and dogs over 4 months to be shipped. San Antonio requires shipping of dogs and cats and actually ferrets, which is interesting. And Chicago, all of this. And then now we told us all adopted in our county. So I'm finding out from us, yes, but from you. The other thing I did was I promoted an idea I saw last year, a year ago, that they had free ride home for people who drank for New Year's. Mm-hmm. And I got the idea, why don't we have a free ride home? It's a win-win situation for pets. If a pet was chipped, it saves money for the Humane Society. It saves the time and effort, too, and time and effort money for the animal protection control officers. Find an animal on the street, you scan it, you take it right to their house and say, here's your animal.
Mm-hmm.
I looked into that, and I went, yeah. I don't know if it's a great idea. I thought it was a great idea.
Well, I thought it forward as working on a public station with access to a microchip reader. And then we, the Humane Society for Southwest Washington recently had a wonderful relationship start with one of our local fire stations who did a wonderful calendar for us with some of our adoptable dogs. And so I am reaching out to see if it's possible, because there's somebody usually, if there's an emergency, always at the fire station, is that if we purchase microchip scanners, would there be fire stations open to having one? And so if somebody got the stray animal, could they go there and have it seen?
That's great.
Yeah.
Because I got the idea because I found four dogs on the street. Mm-hmm. And I went from house to house to house from the opposite direction the dog had been walking. And so I found all four owners, and I got help from other people who helped me corral the animals and get them to the houses. And I thought, what a great idea, because once I caught them, I didn't know what to do until I just went from house to house. You know this dog? Well, maybe that person. And by the time about an hour and a half went by, I got all four back to their owners, Chihuahua and others. So you have a question before I...
Do the animal protection officers, do they have... Because I was just thinking that the Friends of that type of organization, maybe someone could volunteer to offer free rides to bring the animal back to their home.
Oh, yeah.
If we put them in there.
If an animal's picked up and we can get the owner, we can take it back to them.
Oh,
great. It doesn't necessarily have to go to a shelter. If it's like, if we know that that dog lives here, you know, it's not uncommon to just take it back to the home and then talk to the people about why their dog is out and help educate them, you know, and maybe the landscaper left the gate open or the kid, or, you know what I mean? Maybe there is a broken fence, even if the fence is a broken fence or something like that. So animal control agencies, by and far, would much rather, this is in small and large communities, would much rather get those animals home and put them in shelter, you know? And there is evidence to show that even in larger communities, this type of put your animal home or get them in the shelter process works very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that our officers have done it on occasion that I'm aware of. So the fact that I know that they do it means that it does happen.
Okay, so thank you for sharing that. It kind of relates to exactly what I'm finding is we don't have something like for me when I found the dog, if I got it into my car, I could call animal control. I could leave or but if I knew it, I could go to a fire station.
Yeah.
But I was just gone right there right away. And if we got that information out to the public.
I'm going to tell you that I love the idea of the community or a group or, you know, especially in the summertime when our officers are having to respond to
so many other kinds of calls. It would be great if there was a posse out there that would do that and take the damage. And we didn't have to enter in a queue. We didn't have to spend the time that we should potentially don't have. Mm-hmm. We don't have.
Right.
So, not that we're not going to do it, because obviously we will, but it would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
So I would like to recommend to the other committee that maybe they include trying to get information out of the public, if we can get that kind of thing started, not having scanners at like a location in a fire station or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because if we got the information out of the public, then they would use it. I would use it 4 times, and I'm just one person, and that was just over a 2 month period. Mm-hmm. Okay. The other part was
How much?
$600.
Mm-hmm. You can have cheaper ones, but they aren't worth it because they don't scale.
They have spread. Yeah. I've heard that like sometimes you'll chip a dog or a cat, and the chip will actually go underneath them.
Yeah, they can migrate.
Okay.
And that's why you need pull box.
Right. Okay. And that's what people would have to know if they're
all the way down the bottom.
Wow.
And sometimes they suffer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Yeah. And there's still a very good portion of the public that does not trust the language. It's not one of them. Yeah. It's like they've been my business. There's a wonderful new option for, and once again, it's a tag. So, right, the tag can pull off, the caller can be taken off.
Right.
It's a QR code that you can scan with your phone. No one can scan it. Your information pops up on that QR code.
Man, that's
the social calling.
And you guys got scanners into how many fire?
None yet.
None.
That's kind of my.
That's your
thing that you're
working on.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want animals in the shelter either.
Right.
I mean, you know, we don't want animals.
Okay. So the third part in my sharing was looking for a metropolitan area that had success, and because there's, I read about 40 different ones that. They're struggling worse than we are. And the two that I came up, one that I came up with was combined Calgary and New Jersey proposal, where they're funding all their animal control through their licensing, 100%.
You said Calgary.
Calgary and New Jersey. I'll send the link to you.
Okay, great.
The article, if it's the right one. I gave you one copy, mm-hmm. and I sent you the other one, but I don't have the first copy anymore. Because I gave you my copy, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you haven't. But... Okay, so if you could look at the copy I gave you, and if the one I send out is not the one that was, I'm referring to that. But what I found that was success, and the ones that did have some success, and it was also found in the Calgary, New Jersey, was two things. One, and that would be outreach in the community, increase the perceived value of the license. So the members of society said, wow, that's really important to have, right? When they did that, they found greater results. The other thing was increased fines for noncompliance after a certain point. It doesn't mean the first time, but it might be starting, you release the pet because it's not licensed to the person to say, you should get this animal license according to our law, blah, blah, blah. And if it comes in again, and they said the tipping point for that particular point in the study that I will share with you and all the ones I did read about was getting that set the right amount to where we go, I don't want to risk it. I don't really think it's, they said at an obtrusive level, but enough for you to go, I'd rather pay the annual fee for a license.
$25 rather than $500.
Second occasion. I think a lot of them did second. You didn't do it the second time, then you got a hefty fine. But that's basically a summary of all the reading I spent. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really good, especially the ride home. And you've already given a new expansion to my ideas, given a location for people to go, mm-hmm. or the barcode off of license tag.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking about. So if animal control picks up a dog with a license, can't find a microchip, we could ID the dog from the license, yes. Right? And what's the easiest way to do that? Like if I picked up a dog and I saw he had a license, how would I? be able to get information.
You call our dispatcher, you call the licensing line, one of us will pick up.
That would be another good way, because then we don't have to worry about the microchips, it's a license, and that could be a plus.
Right.
Getting a license.
I agree. The ideas, I carry a lot of ideas when I throw them out. You might.
Yeah, you will find that a lot of people do think that if they microchip, they don't. That is a common.
Right. Right.
There are some municipalities that have gone from a license and tag to utilizing the microchip number as the license, but that's not as common as probably we would like it to be, since it's a permanent ID, you know? So it's not quite where growth is yet, but there are some municipalities that are doing it.
And I guess I'll summarize if there are any questions. The biggest effect was getting people to receive the value of a license to be something very important. The more I found that was stressed in the reading that I did, the more success they got towards 100% fees covered by licensing. So something to consider.
In your research, you should start into, you know, historically, Maricopa County in Arizona has been only supported by licensing.
Maricopa?
Yeah.
I might have read about them.
Yeah.
So I think.
They have two shelters in one of the largest metropolitan areas within the country. So I think that's pretty amazing. But it's been a long time since I've looked at their data. So I don't know if they're still in that boat. It would be able to put them.
Thank you. I believe I did read. I looked at like 40 states and about 7 or 8 different countries, probably more because it's in third world countries. But I believe Arizona had good results. I was looking for the ones that say they're 100% covered by, and a larger percentage of people licensed in their bed than ever, and what they think was their effect, and the data that backed it up. Off the top of my head, not much more than ours, but they did something that we're not doing often, multiple year licenses, because people don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. I just did it. They just did it last month, but it was really a year ago. Well, so they offered incentives to buy multiple year licenses. I don't know how, I can't off the top of my head remember what it was, but a lot of them said, okay, you pay this much for a 1-year license, you pay this much for a 3-year, you buy your license, we'll give you a slight discount, but then we're getting 5 years of license.
Well, doesn't Richfield, my son just moved to Richfield, and he paid $50 for a lifetime license?
I
understand. I was shocked. I was shocked, but I was looking up for him, you know, because I'm not going to license a song any longer. How can they do that?
Because they don't have money. They don't.
Yeah.
I would say that stems from them not having enough manpower to manage that program.
Right.
Well, and
it's the easiest way to manage.
Maybe it was before all their immense growth also that it all started.
Yeah.
Right. That would be more, most likely.
You know, and maybe vets could do the same thing because they have a 3-year release at the same time. They could say, hey, would you like a 3-year license? It's a good option. So every time a 3-year release comes up, they get a new license. That might help.
Do you think that would save the county money and administrative costs if they do the 3-year plan? So then they're not processing that license.
Potentially. Our new program, though, the renewal process will be much more effective and efficient. We really need to get people to do it and to get a business done.
Is the software, I think,
close. We're very, very close.
When people renew their license online, is there an area for them to donate to a specific?
There is now going to be a place for donations where there wasn't before. With this new software has that ability. it is not going to, there are not specific categories. However, there will be an explanation as to what those donation dollars go.
So they don't want it to go into the general fund.
Well, that's a whole other discussion. And, you know, I almost need to bring the auditor to explain it. So, yes, I agree with you 100%. And I think that's in some of your talking points. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah, okay. Another time.
Yeah, we need a dedicated fund. And that is, you would think that that is something that, that
oh, sure, yeah.
That's for sure. That's easy. No problem. It's not that easy. So.
To answer, I just reflect for William. Maricopa now is down to 25% of their funding to replace. So that's a considerable amount. And a lot of them are, a lot of the other ones are going up and down. I think it has to do with continuity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just spent $6 million building the shelter. So they're thinking that.
Yeah.
So who knows?
I guess that's it. Unless Red wants to add something.
Well, I think we mostly covered it. But one thing that I looked into for spaying neuter is raising the licensing fees specifically for unaltered animals. There's difference right now, but I've looked at other cities that Seattle, it costs four times more to license the animals. Not that.
Would we need to talk about those kinds of this? Are you making a decision on the pricing of the licenses?
So that they're codified of the fee for licenses. So once the code is changed, if that is what it is.
Okay. Is it too late to also submit that as is this related to the venue?
Maybe like the we're gonna start doing work sessions in like month. We could, but I don't know how I feel about that. I would have to kind of really think about.
I think that's that.
We're pulling out a new software. It's not good to just jump up prices when you go up because people think that's what they're paying.
Right.
So I would say timing would be better, maybe. But I agree. I don't disagree with non-incentivizing behavior. You know, but what I've heard, and this goes back to, and again, I'm sorry, but the behavior stuff in the community, and it's like, unless you have the ability to do low-cost behavior on a large scale, provide that to people. They can't afford it. They can't afford it. So that's why I worry. I'm supportive of mandatory spay neuter. I worry about how you really enforce that. How do you enforce that?
Mm-hmm.
You're pushing people who can't afford. How are they going to afford it? And then I'm going to penalize them for not doing it?
Right.
There's a lot that factor into.
Especially when you're saying somebody can't afford the license fee, you have to go to New Zealand, you have that much more. $800 to spay?
Yeah.
What's our current license fee?
$50 for an altered, $25 for an altered dog. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot.
That's the incentive, I guess. Yes.
Well, even communities that have mandatory spay are running into the problem of enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the manpower to enforce mandatory spay neuter rules.
I think wasn't one of the things we submitted, it's been a while now, that we make it just mandatory when there's a stray that's not, or I think we talked about that.
There's a lot of support for that in a lot of communities. If your animal comes into a shelter stray, that it can't leave until it's spayed and neutered.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also run into this idea of animals being property and how do you navigate that gray zone? And in communities,
you're not going to do it for free.
Exactly.
And how long is that animal going to have to wait depending on how many adults are in the shelter waiting staff.
Exactly.
Like, I don't want to keep that dog for another 5 days when his owner's right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. Right? There's all these factors.
And the communities that have successfully implemented a mandatory spay neuter for a stray, usually it's if your animal comes in 3 times stray, we are going to spay neuter, you are going to pay for it, and that's it. But even those communities are looking at cost recovery issues. So mandatory spay neuter is absolutely wonderful, but it comes with a cost on some new.
And providing, like, you know, oh, we provide a voucher, or we'll have a grant program, give, you know, clinics money, or whatever, if we had money to give, you know, and you get 50% off, but 50% off of $800 is still $400,
yeah,
right? And you'll be surprised that, you know, yeah, the people that need it can afford that.
Yeah.
Has the pricing been established for the clinic that we have been in?
No, and since 2020, the cost of medical supplies that clinics are buying has risen to exponential rates at this point.
Yeah. And any of the clients that will be able to say are about to meet
would come.
Yeah.
In the years I've been reading about people more resistant to go to the licensing if they're fearful that they'll have to have a high cost surgery. So that's been in the region occasionally, but I see not often, but it's there. Thank you, Maria.
Yeah.
Thank you for all the committee overviews. And the next topic is the Humane Society's workforce statistics.
Oh, yeah, lots of it's bigger than Senate. It's really tiny. I did a little bit of a different format than I did last time. I'm sorry there were no percentages, but I had been busy and took over Alex's name. I'll be on the
next one. I guess that
was my next one. Here.
This is
the
one.
Oh, that's interesting. And I broke it this time. I drifted. You know, council, so like, you know, cool, a bit of a review.
Yeah.
Draw, obviously, you have to be.
Thank you.
DOA, of course, you know, deceased animals that are coming in. A little clarification is that agency are animals brought in by an animal control agent or a designee. And then on the back are stray, and those are animals that are brought in open on their mind. So we do differentiate. Lost animals are animals that the public has submitted to us, and if an animal has been lost, and we post that on our website for people to see. Found animals are animals that are found in the community that we are in fact to talk people into holding on to, to see if they can find a pet on their owner, on their home, so animals are not going to be shown. Emergency boarding, that's a service we offer to people in crisis, house fire, domestic violence. We will take in their pets, and 90% of the time, they've been placed in a foster home while they get on their feet.
Is there a term, a time limit to do this?
It's technically 30 days for the contract, but it's not unusual that it goes to 60 days or 90 days, right? As long as they're in communication with us and they have a plan. It's also not unusual for them to come back and say, you know what, I have to make this difficult decision because my plan is not coming into fruition. Mm-hmm. Or I'm struggling to find a plan. And so they look at the decision.
There's one that says out of state. What is that? How does something like that occur?
That means that we agreed to take in this animal through a situation, and I can't speak to this in particular. I didn't have a chance to. Yeah, probably from London.
Is that what you call safe haven? Is that what it is?
Yeah, safe haven. Yeah, this is just the emergency boarding.
Yeah,
but the status is safe haven.
Yeah. Do you do that, or like
medical emergencies where we find like a so.
Yeah, we have. It's not unusual. Like an officer has gone to a hospital and something's been.
Right. Or the fire well. District gets there and takes them, and then their dog's left in the house and they have nobody else to take care of.
Yeah. And of course, using your request, the offer low cost, staying kind of low cost that we can make it to the public. It's a very small program right now. It's not publicly advertised yet, so hopefully we're going to get that officially in a month or two. We still have the staff.
Is that also based on income or no?
Nope.
No.
Okay, so that program, you said it'll be active in the end of the
I hope so. It has to do with training and how there's a staff that are trained, certifying the nation technicians and the course that's been we've already been talking to the books.
Is there a course taking place here?
You have our own.
You have your own.
Oh, that's been approved by the
oh, nice. And do you guys offer that for outside?
We don't.
Or it's just for intern?
We can offer it to shelter staff and other shelters could come to us and take it, but it's shelter system.
Oh, okay. Well, right.
What about the officers?
So Paul's to get what I think he needs something to complete.
He needs, I think, a new line.
Yeah,
we have this office. It's just time. It's time for me to be able to finish that way.
Yeah.
You know.
That's serious.
Yeah,
there's
just some answers.
Absolutely. I'd like to
help you know. We're actually going to train in Chicago. I haven't got to see what I'm trying to take after I can leave. Yeah, it's 38
to 6. Oh, Sunday.
I'm straight.
I'm your straight. Yeah.
Yeah,
we
need to have license.
You've got to be 33 kids.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's not even heavy
training season. That license.
Wow. It's
yeah.
I mean, I used to be
Oscar. Really?
You guys do your
premium show? Used to Oscar, and it was just
that. It has a huge
amount. So do you offer any type of
you are starting to get us
to would that also be for just the euthanasia request votes or the owner's surrender votes?
The DOA.
Oh,
it's a lot of information. Do you guys have any questions?
No, we were just commenting how shocked we were at how many kids
we had. We had
huge number.
We had just over 1,600 kittens come in.
Right.
It's like 1,600.
So I was from plant ideas. I have a simple idea. I'm really saddened by the number of cats and dogs, just the stray, for example. It's just a post. If people knew that. See, I think a big part of what's going on is people don't know a lot. Maybe we have some simple way of posting on the form, get the Columbian to get a poor little thing that says, during the last quarter, this many dogs and cats were picked up as strays. You can do a big note by just one or two sentences. I mean, because licensing in your pet. But if when you have that such a large number, it's so sad. And I think the more people see that the number is not getting in, it's put on this couple of terms now, right? And it's going up.
Yeah, it's a community issue.
So we just need to get that information out, and maybe that helps. Because the more people know, the more we can get others to get involved and try to help. So we're back. I like the proposal for the outreach committee that we try to get.
Are you back on the committee?
No, I'm not an idea person, right? But I think just putting it out there somewhere where people can see it. Now, I don't know if it's maybe paper anymore. They might maybe do it online. Maybe it's next door, whatever.
Yeah.
But maybe it's something you guys can discuss.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think just providing information to the community, and that's why we ended up landing on that nonprofit, because that's something we can make happen quickly and don't have to go through. We don't want to have to compete with other departments to post information on the county page. So if there's a dedicated page for, you know, a friends group, I think that there could be some really good information sharing.
Yeah, I think it'll be more respected to the more members of the public that way to be honest with you, because we're in fucking
And do you track them by month also?
I can track them all the different.
So like if we wanted to put it monthly out there on the news or whatever, we could get it with that information.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talk about that. Our department database allows me to run reports and vary, of their information for varying amounts of time. So there's definitely a lot of flexibility.
So under the lost section, so lost, is that lost reports that came to you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, not through animal control, just through general public.
Okay. Fills out our lost pet report online and we post it on our list.
Okay. Sorry, I think you said that and I missed it. I'm sorry.
And then the found are people that have found an animal in the community and have filled out a found report with us and we hold on to that.
Okay.
Now, factory canvas says it's been X number of days since an injury. We had a sign that was, people didn't drove by us and during the last 3 months. It's shocking to get the information.
Billboards, Lamar, if it's a Lamar billboard, they will do nonprofit billboards quarterly.
Well, you guys have guys in your intake room. I brought in two like Pyrenees puppies that I found out in the country.
Yeah. Our board that says
your board that yeah. How many? Yeah, it's like
just your act.
Yeah,
the board that advertises our name. So I could just put a little thing under it.
But what, 50,000 people drive to Portland every Monday through Friday?
I already checked that. What is it? Outfront Media that has the big billboard by ALNA. They don't do anything for nonprofit
at all.
You can hire one of those.
It's a public company.
But Lamar will.
Yeah.
If it's for a nonprofit, it can't be for a government agency. It has to be for a nonprofit. Well, you know who else? It's surprising how many people have billboards, but you could even get like Vancouver Ford, but you can't hardly see theirs anymore. But there are some of those that they will, like once a year, provide information for nonprofits. Yeah.
And if we just had availability of a frequently passed sign that said during the last quarter, we'd only have to have it updated 4 times a year.
Yeah.
Even if you said during the last 6 months or the last year, even if you had one.
What?
It was that, yes. I mean, the idea is to get the information. It saddens me every time I see this report. And I know you guys are working terrifically hard on this and just more and more hands. The population
group. Anything else about the just the selling report? Are we waiting for the department? I'm not sure. Is it Stubborn or Donna or is there? I didn't actually see the report in touch. I think the element.
It wasn't that person.
You have the. The report will be done, but that's been provided. I didn't print those. I just printed the annual one, end of year to date. Our software system currently is. I don't know that I trust 100% these numbers sometimes. It does show that we have increases in, a lot of chemical. Especially with an aggressive dogs and dogs, that seems to be succeeding. We get so many complaints, primarily. Cruelty complaints. Now, again, we've had this discussion before. What's cruelty?
Mm-hmm.
There's the crime of being.
then there's people who, you know, think the husky left outside in the snow is that's cool. Husky goes to be outside the snow.
Husky doesn't.
Right. So there's a lot of that too. So it is not. These are not necessarily actionable in the way that very few of them are turned into criminal cases of accident. But we do issue, you know, citations. Is, you know, verifiable something that we can't educate or something that needs to have changed. We're dealing with issue of citations. Again, it really just boils down to the volume that we're getting. So much ability to respond.
Is there a number that kind of an average of what an average animal control call costs the department? I mean, that probably
I,
is
I don't hard have to. That. I you know, that is not an expected question. I just have not done any significant analysis to break it down in that way.
Okay. That's okay. I just wanted to know if that number was there. So
that would be a relative number, depending on what officer, how we was absolutely make one possible. So more right. Variables than that, but that would be
right. Yeah. Right, and that's kind of, and, you know, maybe that's something just as an educational thing, right? Mm-hmm. You start talking about like presenting value for your license.
Right.
If people knew, on average, it costs animal control $327 to go on one call, you know, whatever that number is.
Right.
It could be really valuable trigger information. People are like, oh my God, I'm going to get my license, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's a lot of data that's there that just needs to be analyzed and put together. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we have an hourly range. You know what? Since staff time, including salary, wages, and benefits, right? What an hourly range average might be like. We have a, you know, an fleet expenses issue.
Can I say something on this? I got a lot of education and statistics and all these things. And it's a very simple number to get at the macro level.
Right.
It's your total budget divided by the number of calls you get over a year, say. And that will give you a number that will be meaningful for what you're talking about. You don't need to spend 1,000 hours doing the detail. Because in statistics, the macro is almost always right. But if you try to narrow it down to, am I going to die on my statistic year 2033? I hope not, but that's my date. And I calculated in that with all the cost of my animals and everything else to provide for them for the rest of their life. So I use these tools of engineering and mathematics to plan my life out and plan my branch and plan my animals, which will be taken care of for their lives. So it's simple if you make it simple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming
tonight.
I'll keep my mouth
shut. Do you have any other numbers still on me? What's that? Oh,
they need to work on it.
Oh, I don't see them. $16 a call.
Yeah.
Wow. If I just take my total budget for my service calls, that's what it is.
Wow.
See, I'm here. And that'll make your point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Then you can also ask, would you rather stay or neuter your animal or make your taxes pay this much for the visit of your dog again escaping or your cat again escaping, right?
Or do you want to pay it when we find you?
Or that's right. $660.
Do you guys respond to noise complaints? Or is that?
So we do, but it's a little, it's, you know, again, going back to priorities of what we do. We had somebody show up at the council meeting this week and complain about you know, for the party and money and things. It's peace bothered. You don't help. There's always more to the story for this particular case, but, you know, it's.
And I feel like we can have, you know, on the Friends of website, there's information that mm-hmm. we can have in one place where people can go and, you know, we can give like sample letters that they could send to their neighbor and just give them some conflict resolution suggestions.
And we have all of that. And I know yeah. Robert's looked into it over the years, made changes through that process. We try to be transparent and manage expectations, right? Like, you can call and complain, but you have to help us help you. We're not sitting outside someone's house for an hour. We sleep for a dog parking. Mm-hmm. They meet the requirement of the threshold of the code. We don't have the time to do that. Mm-hmm. So if you want us to respond, provide us the evidence, mm-hmm. follow up. Some people don't like that approach because I pay your salary. You should be working for it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so I think the thing that we're conscious of is when somebody gets to us and complains to the level, we know they've had it, right? And we hope most of the time they just, that's it, they're done. Mm-hmm. And
that's one thing you probably see. I mean, that's been my experience is by the time that people seek help an outside resolution, they're finished. Yeah. They're like, just take it. I don't even want
to. They made that preparation.
Absolutely.
They've come to that point in whatever situation.
Yeah.
They've had distractions.
Yeah.
I see it mostly.
Yeah.
And as a daughter, one of the things I found was that a good percentage of his neighbor's stats.
Sure.
And she knows I've done it. I've been on that Nextdoor app. I don't even like technology as much as probably most people, but I got a Nextdoor app and diffused so many arguments over and control and their services or not having enough services or what to do with a dog. It's barking. I've been on there 100 times in 3 years trying to get them to look at it from a perspective of how do you deal with this problem? What's the best way to approach it? Where do you get the information? And then usually just have a long chain. And then they go, okay, thank you.
Well, the other piece to it that was really important to remember is that, okay, there's a violation. Then what are we going to do? People have had it. They expect us to go take their dog, like remove their dog. We're not going to do that. We're going to issue them citations. And again, it goes back to, I can't force anybody to make this. I can't make anybody to. I can penalize them for it. But ultimately, you know, that would be a really long process. I'm going to show my siblings. I did.
And you and I found out that the better we put information on the website, mm-hmm. the more happy customers are being able to solve it on their own.
Yeah, I think the temperature in the world and people's, you know, patience and tolerance levels I don't know what it is, but if we could get people to talk to each other when something bothers them the first time, I think that really is key, because by the time they get to us, they're done. Of course, we're not going to be able to help. We're in a lose-lose situation at that point. Because the minute that we tell them, well, can you please help us by doing this? And so I don't know how to, you know.
That's education.
I do have a question for you. We had multiple discussions on creating a library of how to help a situation like dog barking. And you could suggest to your neighbor, hey, your dog's barking. Go to the county website. I didn't look, so I don't know. Do we have that library started?
We have a lot of information there that it has been edited a little bit to kind of be a little bit better messaging and you know, but people have to be accepted to this.
All right. Well, thanks so much for the reports. We made it to the agenda. Does anybody have any other announcements before we adjourn? So if there's no objection, the meeting is adjourned, and our next meeting is March 27th. Thank you so much.
And was that the meeting that you're going to do the interview?
No, well, that's the next board meeting.
In the next couple of weeks.
Hopefully by then we'll have.
Probably by February 14th.
Okay.
That's what I was told.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you.